Second Thought is a 100% viewer-funded operation. If you'd like to help support the channel and get some great perks while you're at it, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/secondthought. The American Dream. A house in the suburbs, a white picket fence, 2.5 kids, a dog, and enough disposable income to save for retirement and go on a couple vacations a year. Hate to break it to you, but statistically speaking, you'll never be able to afford the American Dream. At least, not the way things are now. You know, with all the... Not great. But this notion of the American Dream is persistent. A lot of people believe that it's something that still exists today.
The American Dream.
The American Dream.
American Dream.
The American Dream.
Where did this mythology come from, and why is it so hard to shake? Let's rewind a bit.
Ladies and gentlemen.
The embryonic form of the American Dream can be traced back all the way to the early colonial period, where the continent was seen as a land of opportunity, a place to build a new life and a new home.
This land is mine!
This vision changed through the years, through the Industrial Revolution and territorial expansion, with new cities springing up and new frontiers to conquer, and the burgeoning industrial capitalist class preaching the possibility of upward mobility through hard work and character. The Gilded Age of the late 19th and early 20th centuries saw a boom in the US economy, and luxuries became more available to those in the middle and upper strata. This decadence and excess was alluring to the working class, who were promised that the only thing that stood between them and the life of their dreams was a little extra labor and determination. This is when the notion of the American Dream began to crystallize. Then came the Great Depression. The American Dream became more of a national prayer, people hoping that one day they could achieve the stability their parents had enjoyed. FDR's New Deal revitalized the dream, alleviating poverty, stimulating the economy, and providing new opportunities for Americans to build a better life.
Americans as a whole are feeling a lot better, a lot more cheerful than for many, many years.
Then finally, after World War II, the American Dream as we think of it today became enshrined in the public consciousness.
No other people anywhere have achieved more for themselves and for the rest of us than the thousands upon thousands of hard-working American men and women.
Good had triumphed over evil, the post-war economy was booming, the middle class was expanding, and you could buy a house for a nickel and 3 strawberries. There's a reason the Americana of the 40s and 50s is so prevalent in fascist propaganda. It tugs on the subconscious faith that the average person today can somehow achieve this miraculous level of general wealth and stability. Of course, there are reasons the American Dream looks like it does in the public consciousness. The suburbs are a staple because upwardly mobile white people fled the cities to create white-only enclaves. Cars are a staple because the auto giants lobbied heavily against public transportation, creating the car dependency crisis we see today. But problems aside, where did the American Dream go off the rails? What happened between the 50s and today that set off the downward spiral?
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Okay, it's fun to blame Reagan personally for all our societal problems, but obviously that's an oversimplification. The logic of capitalism requires people like Reagan to act the way they do. That being said, Reagan was particularly zealous.
I am paying for this microphone, Mr.
If you take a look at just about any graph tracking economic trends, inequality, homelessness, productivity versus wages, there's always a noticeable change in trajectory during the Reagan years. Reagan's administration drastically accelerated the sale of the government to corporate interests. Anything that could be privatized was. Lobbying, what every other country calls corruption and bribery, went through the roof. Social safety nets were stripped away, and suddenly everything, even government agencies, had to start turning a profit. It should be obvious today that the whole trickle-down thing was a scam. It doesn't work. And multiple studies have confirmed that fact. But because Reagan was charismatic and an excellent speaker, he was an actor after all, He became a sort of messiah figure in the United States. Fast forward to today, and we can see the consequences of his miracles. According to a recent study, there is not a single state in the country where a married couple making $100,000 a year can afford the American dream. That's two adults, two kids, a pet, owning a home, and having some money left over to save for the future. It is impossible. All 50 states require more than $100,000 a year for what was once considered the baseline middle-class standard of living, and most of them require significantly more. In Massachusetts, for example, you'd need to make over $240,000 a year. Even in the least expensive state, Mississippi, you still need to make $109,000 a year. To make matters worse, the median income in all 50 states is well below the American dream threshold, with the median earner in states like California and Hawaii making barely half the required amount. And there's something that bothers me about stats like these. These figures always cite the median income, which, fine, that's a valid way to give a ballpark number. But it leaves out the fact that half of the people in every state don't even come close to the cited figure. If the median earner makes half of what they need to achieve the American dream, what about the people who make half of that? If people making $150,000 a year can't afford to have both a home and children, what hope does everyone else have? Okay, so out of curiosity, I dug up some stats on income brackets. As of 2024, 62.4% of households make less than $100,000 a year. 62% of families in the United States cannot afford a stable, middle-class life in the least expensive state in the country. And this problem is only getting worse. As cost of living continues to skyrocket and wages remain stagnant at best, the dream of owning a home is slipping away from the vast majority of younger Americans. But beyond housing, everything else is getting more expensive too. Cars, gas, groceries, electricity, and especially education. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, average college tuition and fees have exploded, rising by 1,200% since 1980. Kids used to be able to graduate from high school, land a job assembling cars or flipping burgers, and pay their way through college out of pocket. That is impossible today. There's a reason student loan debt is sitting at $1.74 trillion. If a student wants to get a higher education, their only options are to have wealthy parents or go into backbreaking debt. And the worst part is, when they graduate saddled with $100,000 in debt with criminal interest rates, their degree is essentially worthless because the only thing available to most graduates is gig work. As of 2023, almost all new jobs created in the US are part of the gig economy. 59 million Americans, over a third of the workforce, are doing some kind of gig work. That is insane. These jobs do not come with benefits. They do not offer labor protections. You're not classified as an employee. And for things like Uber, you're running your own car into the ground for a company that will not buy you a new one when yours fails. And then you have no transportation and no job. The entire economy is built to be as extractive as possible from as many people as possible to create the greatest profits for the smallest sliver of humanity. And that is the core of the problem. Every economic challenge we face, income inequality, stagnant wages, student loan debt, the cost of living crisis, inflation, the gigification of work, it all stems from the same root cause, the nature of capitalism itself. A lot of well-intentioned people like to claim that if we could just go back to the way things were after the New Deal, or if we could just get money out of politics or vote in the right people, we could fix this stuff. And I wish that were true. It's a nice thought. But that's not how this works. Restart the simulation a million times and we'll always end up right here. Whoa. With everything falling apart for 99.9% of us, and billionaire freaks like Jeff Bezos going on a joyride to space, or Mark Zuckerberg selling our private data to Israel, or Elon Musk doing whatever the hell he's doing this week. And all the while, the government is cracking down on our ability to stand up for ourselves and demand something better. We live in a society that is rapidly devolving into fascism, and that's not hyperbole. Fascism is simply the logical outcome when capitalism starts to stumble. The ruling class circle the wagons, crack a few skulls to keep the people in line, and fan the flames of anti-communism to try to prevent the working class from threatening the capitalist status quo. Where does that lead? Every single time. It happened in Italy, it happened in Germany, in Spain, in Greece. Literally everywhere there's been a surge in anti-communist sentiment and the unholy merger of corporations and the state, this is what you end up with. In a system where corporations own the government, and profit is the only thing that matters, and those profits begin to slip, wealthy and powerful oligarchs will use whatever means they have at their disposal to crush opposition and forcibly create market conditions that stabilize their profits. Throughout American history, outside our borders, that's always come with corporate-funded coups, CIA meddling, US-funded death squads, and a complete disregard for international law and human life. The question now is, what happens when the only way to maintain the status quo is to turn that violence inward? How far is the ruling class willing to go? And it may seem like we've gotten off track here, but that's the problem you run into when talking about topics like the American Dream. It's part of the legacy of Manifest Destiny, American exceptionalism, and the myth of what the United States stands for. And that's all tied up with capitalism and the cult of endless growth. It's impossible to talk about one without the other. It's overwhelming to talk about because where do you even begin if everything is connected like this? That's why I start each video with a specific problem, like not being able to afford the American Dream. When you begin to see each of these issues not as independent problems, but as cancerous growth spouting from the same disease, it starts to make more sense. When you boil capitalism down to its core characteristics, it looks something like this. An economic system designed to maximize profits by any means necessary, divided into two primary classes, the owner class and the working class. These two classes are inherently in contradiction with one another. The capitalist wants to extract the greatest possible profits from their workers, and the workers want to be paid as much as possible for their labor. These two goals cannot be reconciled, and so there will always be conflict. The problem in hyper-capitalist countries like the United States is that the capitalist class has near-complete control. They've destroyed unions, gutted labor protections, bought favorable legislation to make those practices easier, and are now able to make things worse and worse for the average person. That's why you can't afford a home, or groceries, or a car. That's why you don't have any benefits. That's why every new job created is gig work. It's not because you're unlucky, or the country is just going through a rough spot, or the wrong person is in the Oval Office. This is how capitalism works. It will always be how it works. And it's why you will never be able to afford the American... And none of this is intended to scare you or turn you into a doomer. This is all just stuff we need to come to terms with. The American Dream does not exist. The only reason it existed before was because the US Empire was at the peak of its imperialist power. Its control over the rest of the world was absolute, and by causing horrific suffering around the world, the US could provide luxuries for its citizens. Today, that control is slipping. And as it slips, as the power and influence of the US Empire wanes, we're increasingly seeing its fascist tendencies turn inward. Spending obscene amounts of money funding proxy wars and genocides, in a vain attempt to destabilize geopolitical challengers. Cracking down on civil liberties, threatening students who speak out against US complicity in genocide, criminalizing poverty even as millions of Americans slip further into destitution. Anything the empire can do to maintain its dominance for just a few more years, to pad the bank accounts of the ruling class just a little more, it will do, including crushing the rest of us under their jackboots. The American Dream is dead. The US project is illegitimate. It is a rogue state lashing out as it implodes. In the coming decades, our goal as normal people living under an increasingly fascist regime must be to build what comes next. Look to the Black Panthers for inspiration. Community defense, education initiatives, food programs for the hungry. Everything the US government is supposed to do but refuses we must do ourselves. If we want to build a country that works for all of us, we need to lay the foundation today, before things have completely fallen apart. As always, there are links in the description for how you can get involved and do your part in building a new dream. Not an American dream, but a dream for all humanity. One that prioritizes dignity, stability, and solidarity among the working people of the world. I mentioned at the beginning of the episode that this channel is entirely grassroots funded. Since sponsors don't want to touch videos like these, we have to rely on the generous support of viewers like you. If you'd like to help keep this channel afloat and get some great perks while you're at it, consider becoming a patron on Patreon. All patrons, regardless of pledge amount, get early access to every video, plus access to our patrons-only Discord server. We just made a major update to the Discord, with a revamped leveling system and monthly Discord Nitro giveaways to active members. We've also got a bunch of other cool stuff like a book club, live Q&As with me every month, and a dedicated educator role for users ready to answer any questions you have about socialism. We've built a thriving community, and we'd love for you to be part of it. So if you'd like to join the Discord, get early access to every video, and help support genuinely principled socialist content, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/secondthought. If you enjoyed this video, leave us a like. If you hated it, a thumbs down. You can check out our other content by following the links on your screen. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.